Welcome to the Spirituality of Strength Training with your host, Anna Willard. This podcast is dedicated to bring you knowledge, wisdom, inspiration, and guidance to wherever you may be on your health journey. For those who are new to me, I am a kettlebell strength coach, a movement nerd ninja, and an empowerment coach on a mission to bring you hope through our health. The root word of health comes from wholeness. The root word of wholeness comes from holy. Despite our differences with religion and spiritual beliefs, we are all human beings with a body that is designed to reflect this holiness through our health. It wasn't until my 7th year as a health profession where I went into a deep awakening of understanding what does it mean to train my spirit and to heal my spirit through the physical. You'll hear a little bit more about my story from other health professionals, from strength coaches, psychiatrists, spiritual gurus and leaders, to other people who talk about the importance of our health as a community body and the health of our planet as well. This podcast is to allow us to step into our whole health, mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Thank you for being here. If you love what you hear, I encourage you to subscribe. If you want more inspiration and quotes from these podcasts, I encourage you to follow me on Instagram at @Anna_Willard_. I encourage you to do a little bit of a movement, either a yoga flow, go for a walk, sit in nature, as you enjoy this episode. Hey, strong ones, welcome to today's episode. Today is another focus on this concept of the fitness for forgiveness concept as we are entering in the fall months here in the United States. Today I have Belinda Farwell. Did I say it right? No, Farwell. Farrell. There it is. Again, last names always get my tongue tied. She is a certified master hypnotherapist, a HUNA practitioner, a healing practitioner. She has effectively at getting results and enhancing performance. She graduated from University of California at Berkeley with a BA in English and Spanish. After attaining a lifetime elementary teaching certification in Cal State in LA, she taught third grade in 5 years at Puerto Rico and Los Angeles. This is the fun stuff. She played Snow White at Disney and was a TV reporter at KABC Channel 7 in Hollywood and worked on the staff of Senator Charles H. Piercy in Washington, D.C. But she is known more for her book, Find Your Friggin' Joy, which has this concept of the importance of forgiveness. So Belinda, welcome.
Wow. It still feels funny hearing all that stuff. Did I really do that?
Yeah.
Thank you.
How did you get into, you have quite a broad resume. What brought you to more of this healing role in your life that you practice now?
Well, I think we all just really want to delve into what makes us tick. And after I got divorced at 40 years of age, I was on a quest to find out, what I was all about. I was literally afraid of so many things. And I started attending seminars with Tony Robbins, and he really gets you to walk on fire, literally.
He does, yeah.
And so I did 18 of those fire walks, and I was on the staff for about 5 years. And that's what got me to say, well, gee, if I can walk on fire, what else would I like to do in my life? Mm. And what came up was I wanted to drive a race car. I don't know what came up. Yeah. And I didn't even know how to drive a stick shift. But Tony teaches you that if you say you can't, you must. Mm. And if you must, you will. Mm-hmm. So I called a racetrack and I signed up for a Grand Prix road racing course. scared to death. I didn't know a thing. I was the only girl. But after 4 days, it turned out that I did have some talent. I could really hit my mark.
Yeah.
And so I was invited to drive for Buick and Cadillac in New York.
Oh my gosh. And
my racing, my stunt driving career began.
Oh my gosh, how fun.
So they came, when I came back, the racetrack created a stunt driving course for me to learn how to do more intricate spins and slides and terrorist type driving. And I got a partner and we started getting jobs, and I had a career that lasted almost 10 years.
Wow. That's exciting.
So that's how it all started. And but my body was starting to ache a lot. Mm. I pushed myself. I was an adrenaline junkie.
Yeah.
And I wasn't really listening to what was going on. And I was taking hypnosis courses and realizing that, you know, how you talk to your body is just paramount. And I was not saying good things to my body. And it finally collapsed with herniated discs. And I had sciatica. I had, the doctor said that if I didn't get surgery, I wouldn't walk again. And the funny thing is that once you stop working, I couldn't walk. So I couldn't do my stunt driving jobs. I was also modeling. I couldn't do modeling jobs. I had no insurance. So I couldn't have gotten the surgery because I'd had no insurance. So I thought, okay, all this stuff I'm learning about hypnosis and how to pull things out of the crevices of your mind. And I just got to see if it really works. I had been studying HUNA at the same time, this intricate way of healing. And I thought, okay, physician, heal thyself. So I went to work doing that with my back.
And that's so cool.
Within a month, I was completely healed.
Wow.
The scoliosis that I was even born with was gone. And I stood up. I mean, before I couldn't walk, I couldn't sit, I couldn't do anything. And then I was just perfectly fine.
Wow. Can you, for those listeners who may not know what hypnotherapy is, can you just explain what that approach is or that type of practice?
Sure. It's learning how to talk to the unconscious, which is running your body. The unconscious mind runs your body. You don't tell your heart to beat. Your heart beats on its own. It's all unconscious. But the conscious mind, the part of us that we're talking now, we talk to ourselves. And that part that listens, the unconscious, does exactly what we say. So you make the changes at the unconscious level. If we could do it at the conscious level, we'd all be great. We'd all be healed.
Yeah.
Voila. You have to get inside and talk to this little part of you that's running your body. And I used to say things to myself that were degrading. I used to say things like, I can't stand up for myself, or I can't support myself. So what's listening is your spine, not supporting you. It did exactly what I told it to do.
Oh, fascinating.
So then I had to change that and to say, thank you for remembering how to heal. Thank you for regenerating. Thank you for supporting me, and saying that over and over and over again, because it takes about 21 days for the unconscious to get a habit. So I healed. Voila. That's about 25 years ago. And I have that outlined in my book, exactly what I did and the memories that came up that I had to pull up, that I had to complete and resolve. And it was a fascinating, interesting time in my life. I felt if I could heal myself, I could do anything.
That's so cool. With this concept of you know, instead of, you know, I can't support myself, and how you just flip the script of saying thank you, you know, for what your body was already doing. Was there a concept of forgiveness with that, in that type of practice?
Totally.
Okay.
That's what it is. It's a self-forgiveness process of forgiving yourself for the way that you've been, you know, talking to yourself all these times. You go inside and you just say, I'm sorry. Just I'm sorry, because it's between you and the higher part of you, the higher self. Everybody has a higher self. It's just mm-hmm. this higher part of man, but it doesn't interfere with your free will. So for you to bring that in, you have to invite that to come in. And the breath is one of the ways, taking deep breath through the nose and out through the mouth, and doing that in a series of, you know, like four ha breaths.
Yeah.
And then that invites this part to come inside and to really mix with the conscious and the unconscious mind.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there's a whole, I have a CD called Chant and Forgiveness, which takes you through the self-forgiveness process. It's like you're up on a platform and you're looking down below you on a stage and seeing all the people and the events that have shaped your life up until now.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing generations, seeing families, seeing, you know, your exes from times gone by.
Mm-hmm.
You're carrying all that weight
mm-hmm.
if you haven't let go, or if you haven't forgiven yourself
mm-hmm.
and let it go.
Mm-hmm.
And so it takes you through this process of gathering all these people and then taking a deep breath and then saying, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And you're sorry to yourself for holding on to the way you're looking at that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you say, you're sorry, I love you,
mm-hmm.
meaning I love myself, I forgive you, forgiving yourself, and then thank you that it's done. And then I take like a cutting instrument and I feel like I'm shaking it around me. And then I just watch the people float away, or feel that they're just floating away. And then what it does is it brings your issues up to a higher level so that you can deal with them at a higher level.
Mm.
It will change. I have done this process a billion times, and each time the person who's even 5,000 miles away will call me on the phone and just say, I'm sorry, I misunderstood, I'm so sorry, let's make amends. It's felt instantaneously.
Wow.
You can't change the event, you just change the way you're looking at it, so it has a whole different feel to it.
Yeah. Yeah. Because on the show, we talk a lot about like trauma, and like how trauma is more that injury to our spirit, similar to how the body has like a physical energy or injury. How do you go about that when something traumatic has happened to yourself, and have that practice of self-forgiveness and the practice of forgiveness to others as well?
Well, in my book on page 109, a traumatic event took place that I had no idea was buried in my body.
Mm.
We tend to bury those events
here,
very deep inside.
Right. Yep.
And then we go shopping, or we go, you know, eat sugar or do drugs or do anything to let them stay down there.
Yeah.
So when I was healing my back, I had been doing some of the Ho'oponopono, which is the forgiveness process. I went to also an osteopath, gave me a tiny little pill of snake venom, which apparently homeopathically, it draws things out of the spine, or draws memories out when you take this.
Oh, fascinating.
Yes. And I had filled out this whole questionnaire and she said, this is what you need.
Yeah.
So I took this snake venom. And this memory came up of a child, a fetus, being just thrown out into the, you know, abyss with all the asteroids and meteorites and everything. And she was just going a million miles an hour, and just this tiny little fetus baby dodging all this debris and scared to death.
Mm-hmm.
And I really thought I was dying.
Mm-hmm.
And then these hands just come down, and they reach down and they lift this child up, and they put her safely in the arms of this being that was, she just seemed like a very divine being. I didn't see her face. And then this child just felt loved for the first time without having to work for it, just totally, completely loved by God, Father, whoever that was that rescued her from all the abyss and put her in those arms. And when I woke up, I was in a pile of sweat. I thought I had died. It was like the dark night of the soul, whatever that was. But it was a way of forgiveness that I was feeling, because right away I wanted to call my mother. And I asked my mother, what was it about my birth that I experienced? And she started crying. She had never told me this, but that she and my father had taken me to 3 abortion clinics.
Oh my goodness.
And that's what the fetus was feeling, just being thrown away, just totally thrown away. So I was the result of 3 failed abortion clinics.
Wow.
I made it.
Yeah.
But it was just, again, the trauma of that manifested in my life by trying to feel worthy of receiving love from other people, working hard, like maybe becoming a great actress so that somebody would, my father would see me and would accept me, because I really wanted to do acting. So that was an example of a trauma, and then forgiving myself. When finally I faced it, you have to face it.
Yeah.
You have to let it come up. And the breath is one wonderful way to do it, if you're willing to just kind of work with it and see what results are as you do this breathing. Because the unconscious will let it go. It's holding them until you're ready to deal with it. You know, it loves you unconditionally. So it will do whatever, you know, is in your conscious mind.
Yeah. I think that's, I find it so fascinating that your mind and your body took you to that place of your birth story. I don't think I've shared this on a public, you know, I have, I can relate to that story. I'm not at a place where I can fully share that story about my life and everything, but I can relate the importance of knowing your birth story and how there is even trauma possibly before you're born that your body holds onto, which is so fascinating that you're willing to go to that, you know, that darkest point. What, I know you mentioned earlier about how we kind of stuff those things down either with shopping, TV, food, even exercise can be a form of numbing your body. What are some ways people can just bring awareness that they're either keeping things stuffed down and that they really, it's almost like this calling or longing to be worked through or paid attention and have that awareness?
Well, your body is so intelligent. It'll give you, it'll show you pain, you know, tightness. Wherever you have tightness. I mean, I had my back, my lower spine. I mean, it's having a temper tantrum is what it's doing. It's saying, come on, listen to me. I'm talking to you. Yo.
Yeah.
It's giving you everything it can to try to get your attention. So if you just get quiet, you know, and just take your hands and touch that part of you that's needing it. It's like a 2-year-old. And you can't bludgeon a 2-year-old to do what you want it to do. You have to hold it. You have to hold it and just nurture it and just say, it's okay. What do you really want from me? If you can do that, if you can go inside. I used to do some therapy with people. It was called Core Transformation Therapy, and it was Connie Ray Andreas. I haven't looked at her book in a long time, but she is the one that coined this core transformation. And you just touch that part of you that is having a tantrum, and then you just ask it, you know, if I can give you this, then what do you want from me that's even deeper? It's even more important, that's even deeper. And then it'll come up with an answer, you know. Maybe it won't talk to you for a while because you haven't talked to it for a while. But it will spiral down and just get to the core issue of really loving you, and really wanting you to be whole and complete and forgive yourself for whatever came before you.
I don't know where to go from that because that was so wonderful.
That's fine. You don't have to We don't have answers for everything. I could do a chant for you now.
Ah, that would be. How would you like? What type of? What is this chant? Explain this for us.
Well, it's in the book. It's a chant that asks for all the darkness to be removed. Just boom, so that lightning and thunder comes down and it just extracts all of that darkness from your soul and puts you in a state of heightened protection. So it's really the most, it's like carrying a shotgun with you. If you can chant that, you'll change the frequency of everything around you and things will change. I've been accosted, you know, in Hawaii and told, you know, I couldn't swim with the dolphins, and all my people were with me and they saw this guy coming up and he was just ready to give me the riot act. And instead of talking to him, I looked up at him and I started chanting this chant.
Wow.
He turned around and walked away. We never saw him again. So it's very powerful in changing the darkness around you, the earth energy that needs to be extracted. So
where does this chant originate from?
It's ancient. It's ancient. It's before there was even numbers, I think. It's just been passed down for centuries and it's a lineage. So I chant it, but the people who chanted before me share that chant and chant with me. Uncle George Naope, Atua Lopez, Teneo Sanz Kumalai. This is a lineage.
I'm ready for it. We're all ears.
Okay. Hai nohoana keakuya kanahi hele hele. Ia lehi hia hia he te tio hua hue taua koko. E he na kino malu I kalani malu e ho. E o houlu mahi ana ho kane I kona kahu. Oa, noa, ike. Mahalo.
Thank you. That was lovely.
So it puts you in a state of calmness, and I just love the state it puts me in.
Awesome. Well, thank you for sharing that. You have gone through a lot of heartache, not just with the story that you shared, but also with your son. And it seems like also like the financial aspects as well. Can you talk a little bit more about those stories and how forgiveness is this continuous practice that you have within your regimen?
Yeah, it sure has saved me, but boy, it's been very challenging. My son saw me heal my back. He was in a ski accident when he was 12 and he broke the bottom part of his spine. Still went into the army. He still passed the tests and, you know, kind of anchored through that. His father is an orthopedic surgeon, so he's on the other spectrum. I was always trying to heal without surgery, without medicine. And on the other side, he's got, you know, the declaration that his dad, you know, said that he'll have to have surgery when he stops growing. So he did have surgery, except it was failed surgery, and it left him in a lot of pain. And so he had to depend on a lot of medicine pills to get through the days. And so he saw me heal without doing that, but he said he couldn't do that. It's not for everybody. You have to, you know, it's not, this type of healing is not for everyone. And so eventually he couldn't stand the pain, and he overdosed on medication. after he graduated from college. And, you know, it's a, I always feel like I could have done more, but that's, again, what you have to forgive yourself of, because everyone has to go through their soul journey.
Mm-hmm.
I think he lived longer than he was supposed to, because I nurtured him and took care of him, and it was a very dark time. But I did the Ho'oponopono. I did the forgiveness with myself, because I didn't want my daughter to feel that she had me to take care of now too.
Mm.
I wanted to keep my health up, and I knew how important that was. And at the same time that I lost my son, all of my savings got absconded with from a Ponzi scheme. So the money was just gone. It just stopped coming in, and my daughter had to take me in, and I just took care of my grandson. He was just a tiny baby, and he was my savior, because babies are so joyful, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I had to put on my joyfulness for him.
Right.
And we just had fun. I mean, it was tremendous. Mm-hmm. And then about 7 months later, money came back into my life, and it was like a miracle, but it did. And I moved out of my daughter's place and got my own place. I discovered reconnective healing, which took the grief away from me. And I started doing the reconnection and reconnective healing again. And my life just started again, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I was just so grateful for everything that's happened. And even the grief, I know he's in a better place. He was in such pain here. And you don't want that for anyone.
Right. Two things from that.
Just two?
Well, my mind's going all over the place with that story, but you touch on like such a, I think a pivotal point of like the joy of kids.
Yeah.
And I know from just my own times of, working through things, when I get myself around kids again, there's such a mind shift of, you know, exactly what you said about, I had to match his joy. I had to be at his level. What is the importance of finding joy when working through trauma and healing through past trauma?
Well, they're in the present tense. They're just now. There's no past. There's no future. Just now.
Uh-huh.
And that's what this forgiveness process does. When you let go and you just let go of the past, you're in the present time.
Mm-hmm.
And you can only be happy and joyful and now, and the past is gone. You know it's gone if you're neutral about talking about it again. If it doesn't hit your buttons, if somebody says, Barbara, you don't go, blah! Or, you know, Carolyn, or just some kind of trigger.
Yeah.
Or a song or something. So you just want to completely, continually forgive yourself. I'm just sorry. I love you. I forgive you. Until you're in that happy place and it feels light. That's what you're going to feel. You're going to feel light. The darkness is gone. The heaviness is gone. You just feel like a feather.
Mm.
Forrest Gump blew that feather in the beginning of the movie. That's exactly what it entails. And I know when I'm not feeling feathery, I've got to cut cords.
So going off of the cutting cords, but you mentioned reconnecting healing process.
Yes.
What is that?
Well, Dr. Eric Pearl, he was a chiropractor in Southern California, and he went to the beach with his secretary and met a gypsy on the beach. Mm. And she told him that he needed to have his reconnection done, and then his healings would be enhanced. And it was based on the Book of Knowledge. And so he went, he didn't want to do it because he was going to have to pay $333 to her. Only do it once in a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
He eventually did it, had it done, and sure enough, without even touching his patients, they would experience this healing that was beyond, you know, their conception. And it was just, he didn't know what to do because he was not in the woo-woo business, so to speak.
Yep.
Anyway, this was about 25, 30 years ago that he was, I guess, given these frequencies. And they're frequencies of light and information. And you don't touch the person. You don't want to know anything about them. When I went and had my reconnection done, she didn't know I had lost my son. She didn't know I was in any grief. She just pulled the frequencies that were around me with her hands. She would feel, find, stretch these frequencies.
Wow.
And it was about a half an hour session. And when I got up, I had no more, my grief was lifted. I mean, I still go through, you know, bouts of sadness, but it wasn't the weight that I had before. It was like I could feel joy again.
That, yeah, because one of my questions with you sharing that story is, can we carry the grief or the weight of others, or do we, is there another process versus seeing this type of person that you were mentioning to lift some of that burden? Or like, because I'm a big believer in like people will cast worries on to other people versus, you know, a power that's beyond our own understanding. And they're burdened with that weight of worry or sadness from other people. Go ahead.
You can't give your power away.
Okay.
If you give your power away, then you're telling these people that they have more power than you and that they can, you know, put this darkness on you. Mm. You can't do that. You have to be able to say, no, my power, my light is far greater than anything you can give to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so you take it back. You take back your power. I know too many stories of people having done, you know, where they give their power to somebody else and they almost die in the process of doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really, you have to stand up for yourself and you have to really take the bull by the horns and and not let that happen. When I was studying Huna, I was so excited about this forgiveness process.
Mm-hmm.
I had a dream. One night I went to bed, and when I woke up, I had the script of chant and forgiveness that I, you know, that I've had now for almost 30 years. It started as a little cassette tape, and then it went to a CD, and it's gone all over the world. It's helped so many people. But I told my teacher at the time that I had this vision and this script, and I thought he was going to just be excited for me. And he threatened me. He said, if you put this out, you're going to be banished. And I went, but my higher self said I should do this. It was like, be banished or listen to my higher self. Which am I going to do? Well, guess what? Listen to my higher self. Didn't care if he banished me. I went to the dolphins. That's what brought me to the dolphins.
Mm.
And if he hadn't done that, I probably wouldn't have had the experience of swimming with the dolphins and getting their downloads.
Mm.
So every bad thing has a good door opening for it.
Yeah.
It happens for a reason.
Explain, I was reading more on your website about this dolphin, swimming with the dolphins, and explain that and like, because it's funny that you say that and how I found you, or how you found me. I think it was the other way around. Because I have this fascination of swimming with orcas, and that's been like a childhood dream of mine. And it's one of those things I was like, you know, just planning out when I'm going to do this, right? What is the magic of being connected to these type of creatures?
Well, the dolphins are really high sentient beings. They're much smarter than us. They're much more higher consciousness than us. And they seek out humans to try to teach us, I believe, about unconditional love. Because when you're in their presence, in their pod, when they're actually looking at you with their eyes, you can't hold on to any anger or sadness. There's just love. You just want to join the pod and swim with them forever. I'm not sure about the orcas. I know that the spinner dolphins in Hawaii are definitely humanoid. You know, they come up, and they come up every 7 minutes to breathe. And if they don't, they will die. So they teach us that if we don't take that deep breath to the top of our heads, we die a spiritual death.
Oh, fascinating.
So they're all about the breath.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every 7 minutes, like a dolphin.
And I
have swam with, and I hated water. See, they taught me how to swim. I hated water. I didn't know how to swim. I still am not a good swimmer. And so they just came, they invaded my dream time when I was doing the Huna, and they started teaching me how to swim and diving so that when I'd wake up in the morning, I'd want to go out and be with them. But then I'd say, I have to get in the water. No, I don't want to get in the water. Oh, but I want to be with them. It was a real push-pull situation. And the poor man that took me out there the first time, I grabbed hold of his arm. He still has scar marks on his arm from where I dug my nails.
Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah, I was just totally fearful. But then as I got more into the dolphins, the water became more nurturing. And then I started to look at the water as a nurturing place and place where, I mean, we were in water for 9 months in our mother's womb, right? Regardless if she wanted me or not, I was still in there. So it was, they brought me out there and downloaded all this information. And then for 20 years, I took groups out there to meet with them. And they're wild, so they don't have an agenda. I would call them in with a chance.
Oh, that's so cool.
So we always had dolphins. Knock on wood.
The Huna practice. Can you explain it, what that is and how, what that, it sounds like it's an ancient practice.
It is, but there are books by Max Freedom Long. He was a teacher that came to the islands in 1917, and he observed the kahunas healing these people, and he thought, well, how is that shown? Where's the book that shows me how you're doing this? How do you put that bone and fuse it back into place? Or how do you heal that? I mean, there was nothing. And so he started writing down what he saw as just miraculous healings. And they're available in books, The Secret of just the ancient secrets. And that's what I studied. Wow. All the books of Max Freedom Long.
Cool. Does that go into any practice of the forgiveness aspect or? Yep. Okay.
It does. It does talk about the Ho'oponopono and the importance of forgiving yourself. And it's all outlined there. It's very detailed.
Yeah.
I tried to explain it in my book more. I taught third grade for 5 years, so I wanted to teach it more of, you know, at a lesser advancement so that people would understand it, and that anybody could do it, because it really is. This morning I was watching something on a TV show. It was a little boy walking to school, and his mother taught him a mantra, and he said, I'm smart, I'm blessed, I can do anything. And he was like 4 years old. I'm smart, I'm blessed, I can do anything. And I was thinking, wow, she taught him this so early in life.
Right.
How amazing if we taught children to love themselves too. I love you. I forgive you. Thank you. On their way to school. And that's just a simple mantra, but it does do the erasure. It's like a cosmic eraser, and divinity comes in and fills it up with something brand new.
Yes. I had a question and then it just escaped me. And this is because I was enjoying the story so well. How do you define forgiveness? Because I know we talk a lot, like it's a lot of this concept of letting go, but letting go is probably like the hardest concept.
Right.
So how do you define forgiveness?
Okay. When we attach ourselves to something, to an idea, to a thing, a dress, a car, the way somebody talks to us, we create an aka connection. In Hawaiian, it's called aka, A-K-A. And in the Bible, they even talk about the silver strands or the cobwebs we weave around ourselves. It's the same concept. Mm-hmm. So we bind ourselves to that thing. Mm-hmm. And the more we bind ourselves and we don't learn how to cut it or erase it, we accumulate all these cobwebs or these tapes. Mm-hmm. And that's what's heavy. Mm-hmm. And so forgiveness is a way of letting go of that and moving to a higher level and to stay in the present time. If you don't cut cords, those cords will accumulate. I cut cords every day. I do a ritual in the bathtub, and my cords or whatever it is, it goes down the drain.
Can you explain, for those in like the more spiritual communities or backgrounds, they probably understand that, but I have some listeners who are more of like the physical, you know, mm-hmm. trainers and those who are training. What does cord cutting mean?
Well, you're cutting cobwebs. Mm-hmm. You're cutting your attachment to the past, to the person that accosted you, to, you know, to the way you're feeling, whatever is making you angry. Mm. It's an inside job. Healing mm-hmm. is an inside job. Mm-hmm. But if you do it right away, you're going to feel better and you're going to be handling that issue at a higher level with that person. Mm. Let's say somebody insulted you. Mm-hmm. You know, said you didn't look good in your bathing suit, or mm-hmm. your workout just sucked and just didn't like it at all, and you just got really ticked off about it. Uh-huh. Right away, you would just put that person right down below you. It's like a, you know, like a movie video of what you've experienced, and you would just start breathing on that person. You would just say to yourself, I'm sorry, I love you, I forgive. You don't want to have that feeling, so you're mm-hmm. forgiving yourself for holding on to the way that felt. Mm-hmm. You're not hurting that person. That person's going on about her business, but you're getting weak in the knees because of the anger that's building up inside of you that's also bruising your heart muscle. Mm-hmm. So it's affecting you as mm-hmm. a person. Mm-hmm. And so as you breathe down on that person and you just say, I'm sorry, I love you, I forgive you, thank you, and you shake yourself around, or shake a knife, scissors, chainsaw around you.
Oh my goodness.
Why not? It depends on how, you know, how important that thing is. Chainsaw might work better.
Oh my goodness.
And then send that person away. Just send that idea away. You're going to feel better, and that person is probably going to call you and apologize. Hmm. That's the forgiveness process. You're doing it with yourself, together with your higher self. Mm-hmm. And it's for your own health. It's so that you can focus on the present, so that you can be creative out into the future. It takes energy to mm-hmm. start a new business, start mm-hmm. a new relationship, anything. You don't want to be encumbered by the past.
Yeah.
You want to, yeah.
With that practice that you just mentioned about the cord cutting, how does that relate to like setting boundaries, healthy boundaries for yourself?
Well, you've got to declare what those boundaries are. Mm-hmm. And if, you know, somebody oversteps that, you just have to be able to communicate that mm-hmm. with that person in a loving way. Mm-hmm. Not in an angry way, but, you know, just that doesn't work for me. Mm-hmm. I find that that's a real powerful statement. If somebody wants you to do something you don't want to do, that doesn't work for me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Again, it's taking your power back mm-hmm. and knowing what the truth is. The mm-hmm. truth shall set you free.
Yeah.
It's an old statement, but boy, it sure is true.
Right. Yeah. It's simple, but I think it gets overlooked sometimes with how simple it is. I come from a Christian background, and so I grew up with that mm-hmm. saying, this is getting more into like religious talk, but I don't even know how to answer or ask this question.
It's okay. I was raised Catholic.
Yeah. Where do we go wrong with biblical interpretation of present healing versus waiting to be saved?
Waiting to be saved.
Because at least for me, it's like, it's more of like, you know, Christ will come again. There's another heaven versus right. From my own healing and aspect. It's more from my personal experience. It's been, he's come again in my life.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
So where do we go wrong with some of these biblical interpretations of just like, these are key components of living a healthy and whole life to other elements? Do you understand my question?
Yeah. I think you have to do what's right for you. I was finally expelled from Catholic school in eighth grade. the nuns called my mother and said she was too joyful and that I hadn't learned how to suffer enough.
Ah.
Can you imagine being accused of being too joyful? I laugh about it to this day.
Yeah.
So what do? I write a book on forgiveness. And I remember going to the, where you confess your sins to the priest. And I was looking in the little keyhole and I was looking at the father giving my confession and he was reading the funny papers. And he wasn't really that focused on my sins or whatever I had done. So
wow.
A light switch went on and I thought, okay, if he's not that interested, neither will I.
Right.
So I just got lost interest. And then I realized that, the forgiveness is with ourselves. It's not asking somebody to forgive us. We just have to forgive ourselves. Mm-hmm. And I think you have to do the same. Just religion is a business in my estimation. It's not a spiritual, it's not spiritual. We're all connected as spirit beings having this human experience. And so you just stay in being kind to one another and not trying to judge somebody because he's this and you're that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're all connected on some big, massive connection board up in space or all around you. And whatever makes you happy and laugh and be like children, and that's the joy. It is all about joy.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't allow religion to come between me and my spirit.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. It does. Yes, 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 yes.
But it's hard because you were raised, as you say, you were Mormon?
Christian.
Christian. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. But I mean, we all have had this kind of background, where we're this, we're that. And I think it's interesting when you find that spirit is with everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's all encompassing. And I searched in college. I looked at all different kinds of religions, Buddhist and Jewish and everything. And, I'm nothing. I'm just part of the joyful group.
Yeah.
on earth. Joy in people's lives.
Yeah.
And not be so serious.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's serious things happening, but again, you have to contribute joy. You can't go into the seriousness and drag everything down with you.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. going back to this topic of forgiveness, where do you think forgiveness lives within the body?
Well, that's interesting. I don't know that it lives. I mean, it lives everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Forgiveness is it's a state of mind. If you're always forgiving yourself, then it's from head to toe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you can define it in any one place. But your heart receives it the most. If your heart is hardened, and there's no forgiveness there, your heart will definitely depreciate.
Mm-hmm.
And heart attacks are the leading cause of death in this country.
Mm.
People are angry.
Mm-hmm.
And so lack of forgiveness affects the heart, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
The lungs receive sadness. If you're very sad, the lungs are the ones that suffer for that one.
Interesting.
So every part of the body responds to the way we are carrying, mm-hmm. you know, our lives.
Yeah.
So I like to check in with my heart every once in a while.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
What?
How are you doing, you know? How
yeah.
you feeling?
Mm-hmm.
The Egyptians, I don't remember it completely, but there's hieroglyphic showing when you die, your heart is put on a scale. And on the other side of the scale is a feather. There's that feather again. And if the heart weighs more than the feather, then that person's soul gets devoured by this very mean-looking deity known as Aramoth or something like that. So you want to keep your heart as light as a feather so that you'll go to the light kingdom afterwards.
Yeah, yeah. Going to the like sadness, because there's sometimes sadness is part of the grieving process.
Oh yeah.
You said you just mentioned of like how you check into your heart and asking how it's doing and everything like that. How do you check into the lungs and the sadness because of that breath connection with our spirit?
Well, I'm just saying after my son died, I had pneumonia 3 times. My lungs were in very bad shape.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't doing too well. So I had to, you know, it was an eventual, just gradual getting out of that sadness and lifting the grief and returning back to joy. But I suffered immensely in mm-hmm. the lung department.
Mm-hmm.
So again, you just have to, you know your body. You know, mm-hmm. be aware of whatever is going on with your body, and then just ask it, what can I do to change this?
Mm-hmm.
What can I do to lift myself up? You know, take a walk, go out in nature, play with children, mm-hmm. play with puppies, you mm-hmm. know.
Yeah.
Just go be with the animals,
mm-hmm.
because they don't carry that. The dolphins, are very attuned to humans. After 9/11, I went back to the mainland, and it was 3 days after the 9/11 took place. And the dolphins, I'm told, they wouldn't come up and jump for joy like they usually do. They stayed down below in mourning with the humans mm-hmm. for what atrocity had occurred during that time. So they felt it. They felt it with us.
Mm-hmm. That's fascinating.
Yeah. Oh, they're amazing beings. Just amazing beings.
Mm-hmm.
They come in ships sometimes. I've seen, well, it's another story. There's a lot of extraterrestrials that come mm-hmm. to Hawaii, all over the world. Mm-hmm. I've seen some in Peru when I went up to Machu Picchu. We're not alone, that's mm-hmm. for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's all for the greater good.
Yeah. Awesome. Is there anything else you want to share? We're going to be wrapping it up in the next minute or two about forgiveness for the listeners.
Well, just don't be a stranger to it. It's just simple. It's simple. And if you just say to yourself, I love you, for no apparent reason, you don't even have to know why you're saying it or for what purpose you're saying it. Just, I'm sorry. I love you. Mm-hmm. I forgive you. Thank you. Just those mm-hmm. 4 statements. Just let that be a mantra. Just say that and see how your day changes. Your mm-hmm. life will change.
Mm-hmm.
Everything changes.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have more fun.
Yeah.
What a concept.
Well, Belinda, this has been a joy to have you on. I've learned so much, and I know the listeners will have enjoyed your insight and perspective and just like the ancient perspective that you bring into this practice of forgiveness. So we're just going to be closing it off. And your book we can find on your website, which I'll make sure is down below, or the CDs.
Or Amazon.
Okay, great. I'll have the links for both.
And the CDs are on Amazon too, but the MP3s are on my website.
Okay, that was my next question. Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Well, thank you. Mahalo, mahalo, mahalo. Ahui ho.
Explain all that.
Thank you until we meet again.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Aloha.
Aloha.
Well, strong ones, thank you so much for tuning in. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure you share it out with your family and friends. And then to help grow the show, give it the 5 stars and a comment below, and I'll get back to you then. Other than that, I'll be peacing out until next week. Hey, Strong Ones, thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. I am super excited to invite you to my private Facebook group where we will be able to continue the conversations from these episodes. I'll share you my wisdom and knowledge about the artistic tool, the kettlebell, and other insights on how to live a healthy and whole life. Click the link below. And if you haven't yet, please leave a review with the 5 stars. It'll help grow the show and spread this wisdom and knowledge of how to live a healthy and whole life to other people who may need it as well. Blessings on your journey, and I look forward to connecting to you on Facebook.